Today, markets muddle higher as yet another US credit rating agency goes negative. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news, and this is our weekly market update. Well, it's been another crazy week on the markets, with a still jittery bond market clouding the outlook for a rally in US stocks. Stocks and bonds have been in a tight relationship over the last few months, with the S&P 500 index surging nearly 7% in the last 10 sessions, while the benchmark 10-year Treasury yield has tumbled from a 16-year high to 4.657. Helping market sentiment on Friday was a steadier US Treasury market. After yields tumbled on Wednesday and surged on Thursday, they were little changed on Friday. The yield on the 10-year was 3 basis points higher in the late moves on Friday after having been little changed most of the session. And oil also steadied after a bout of volatility, with Brent retaking the $80 barrel levels, and gold was lower, with the futures sitting at $1,942.60, down 1.3% on the day, while iron ore extended its rally, pressing through $128 a ton in Singapore. At the same time, the volatility index, which measures expectations of stock gyrations, has fallen to a 7-week low of 1417. While such a retreat in Wall Street's fear gauge would normally be a green light for stocks, there's a catch. It's not being reflected in the more closely watched measure of Treasury volatility expectations, the MOVE index, which remains near its recent highs. Plus, Moody's on Friday lowered its outlook on the US credit rating to negative from stable, citing large fiscal deficits and a decline in debt affordability, a move that drew immediate criticism from President Joe Biden's administration. The move follows a rating downgrade of the sovereign by another ratings agency, Fitch, this year, which came after months of political brinkmanship around the US debt ceiling. Federal spending and political polarization has been a rising concern for investors, contributing to a sell-off that took US government bond prices to their lowest levels in 16 years. It is hard to disagree with the rationale, with no reasonable expectations for fiscal consolidation anytime soon, said Christopher Hodge, chief economist for the US at Naxos. Deficits will remain large, and as the ratings agency said in a statement, continued political polarization in Congress raises the risk that lawmakers will not be able to reach consensus on a fiscal plan to slow the decline in debt affordability. Any type of significant policy response that we might be able to see to this declining fiscal strength probably wouldn't happen until 2025 because of the reality of the political calendar next year, William Foster, a senior vice president at Moody's, told Reuters. Moody's is the last of the three major rating agencies to maintain a top rating for the US government. Fitch changed its rating from AAA to AA+ in August, joining S&P, which has had a AA+ rating since 2011. While it changed its outlook, indicating a downgrade is possible over the medium term, Moody's affirmed its long-term issuer and senior unsecured ratings at AAA, citing the US credit and economic strengths. Immediately after Moody's release, White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre said the change was yet another consequence of congressional Republican extremism and dysfunction. Anyhow, the Magnificent Seven tech stocks push Wall Street higher on Friday, with Microsoft and Apple advancing 2.5% and 2.3% respectively. And the New York Stock Exchange FANG Plus Index leapt 2.7%. The Dow settled at 1.15% to 34,282 on Friday. The S&P 500 closed at 4,415, that's the highest in 7 weeks, up 1.56%. And the Nasdaq Composite was boosted by Microsoft resetting its record high, and Nvidia rising for an eighth session in a row to 483.35. Nasdaq 100 has risen 9.9% since its October 26th closing low, and it was up 2.05% to 13,798. Stocks have staged a meaningful recovery off oversold levels, LPL Financial's Adam Turnquist said in the note. Consistent buying pressure of this magnitude is not only rare, 8-up days in a row have now only occurred in 2.3% of all 8-day periods for the S&P 500 since 1950, but it's also a sign, a bullish sign, for improving investor sentiment and market momentum. Equity markets have been the tail that's been wagged by the rate market dog, said Alex Klozogladov, managing director of equity derivatives at Nomura. US Treasury yields rose sharply on Thursday after a weak 30-year bond auction. The extra yield needed to get the issue sold was the largest in several years, as was the amount dealers were forced to absorb. The market continues to struggle with what is the right premium or clearing level to fund the large pipeline of government debt issuance. The US 30-year yield surged by 22 basis points, while the 20 and 10-year yields also jumped higher, with the latter climbing above 4.6%. This movement in the bond market came on the heels of Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's hawkish remarks at an IMF event, where he indicated the possibility of further rate hikes, of course, again. Consequently, the 2-year US yield crossed the 5% threshold briefly. The US Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco President Mary Daly said she was not ready to say yet whether the Fed is done raising rates, echoing Fed Chair Jerome Powell's comments on Thursday. This uptick in yields had a ripple effect across other financial markets. On Thursday, both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite Index closed lower by around 0.8% as investors reacted to the potential for an inverted yield curve, often seen as a precursor for an economic downturn. Despite those market movements and the increased cost of borrowing implied by high yields, Goldman Sachs maintains a relatively optimistic outlook for the US economy. The investment bank estimates only a 15% chance of a recession occurring next year. But on Friday, the impact of rising treasury yields was felt on currency exchanges. The US dollar gained strength against other major currencies, with the DXY at 105.81 and with the euro dropping below 107 against the dollar amid political and economic challenges within the eurozone. Even though the European Central Bank has maintained high interest rates, skepticism about their efficacy remains in the market. A weaker than expected October jobs report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that the US added just 150,000 jobs in October, missing analyst expectations of 170,000, and that fueled optimism that the Fed may be indeed done with its rate hiking campaign as the labor market shows signs of cooling. The unemployment rate showed little change at 3.9%, and the Institute of Supply Management reported the October Services Purchase Manager Index still showed expansion, fell 1.8 basis points to 51.8%. from September's reading of 53.6, which might suggest the economy is softening. And bearing in mind that the shelter CPI accounts for more than 30% of the headline CPI movement in the US, the latest data showed that the median rent dropped by 0.7% month on month in October, and it's the third consecutive month of negative rate growth, and declines are likely to persist in the coming months as we head into the winter. This is the second steepest October rent decline that we've seen in the history of the index, going back to 2017. And it's the only time that October brought a sharper decline was last year, when rents fell by 0.8% as the market shifted into the periods of sluggishness that still persists. For comparison, from 2017 to 2020, October declined down 0.4% to 0.6%. But this may indicate that inflation, again, is cooling. Bargain hunters were swirling around beaten down shares of US banks, even as skeptical investors say that the sector's problems are likely to persist for some time. The S&P 500 Bank Index is down around 11% in 2023, in the year that began with the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and several other lenders in the worst banking crisis since 2008. But the broader S&P 500, by contrast, was up around 15%. Bank stocks are at an all-time low compared with the S&P 500, therefore, based on relative prices. That's according to data from Bank of America. That tumble has made their valuations attractive to some investors. The sector trades at 8x forward earnings. That's less than half of the 19.7 valuation of the S&P 500. The regional banking index is at 41.37. That's well down from recent highs. So right now, you can't say for sure whether the attractive valuations are merely a value trap, said Quincy Crosby, chief global strategist at LPL Financial, referring to a term describing stocks that are cheap, but for a good reason. One key factor for bank stocks is whether the Federal Reserve is close to wrapping up its monetary tightening cycle that has brought the highest US interest rates in decades. Whilst elevated rates allow lenders to charge customers high interest, they also increase the allure of short-term bonds and other yield-generating investments over saving accounts, which hurts demand for mortgages and consumer lending. Few investors believe more rate increases are in store, actually, yet signs the Fed may keep rates around current levels through most of next year have definitely weighed on bank stocks. This month, analysis from Bank of America said investors should selectively add exposure to bank stocks in anticipation of an interest rate peak. Most risks to the sector stem from higher rates, they said, including margin pressures due to rising deposit costs and problems with commercial real estate. Famed investor Bill Gross said last week he believed the sector had hit rock bottom and added he was holding a number of regional bank stocks, fueling sharp rallies in their shares. I think there is a lot of hidden value in banks. If you are selective, said Neville Javari, a portfolio manager at Allspring Global Investments, who's overweight banks relative to the S&P 500 in the portfolios he manages. Javari believes larger banks have significantly cut costs and are poised to raise dividends and increase buybacks, helping them weather a period of slower loan growth. Historically high mortgage rates have weighed on lending. Overall, about 61% of all outstanding mortgages have an interest rate below 4%, according to the Apollo Group, leaving consumers little incentive to refinance or move. The average contract rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dropped in the week ended November the 3rd by a quarter percentage point to 7.61%. That's the lowest in about a month. Meanwhile, analysts have been cutting growth estimates for financials, which includes not only banks but insurance companies, as the Fed maintains it will keep rates higher for longer. This could hurt mortgage loan growth, and the financial sector is expected to post earnings growth of 6.2% in 2024, almost half of the prior estimates from April that showed an 11.4% earnings growth, according to the most recent data. You don't have any certainty that you've seen the worst of it and things are getting better, said Jeff Malkenkamp, lead portfolio manager at Malkenkamp & Company. And just to underscore that, the University of Michigan's latest consumer sentiment index revealed a continued decline for the fourth month, marking the lowest level since May at 60.4. The report released on Friday highlighted growth concerns among consumers, particularly young and low-income individuals, about rising interest rates and onward conflict in the Middle East. Key components of the index showed a significant downturn, with the gauge for current economic conditions falling to 65.7 and expectations for the next 6 months dropping to 56.9, both reaching their lowest point in half a year. This drop in confidence comes despite the United States experiencing its fastest third quarter economic growth in over a decade, excluding years affected by the pandemic. Inflation expectations have also risen to 4.4%, influenced by lingering effects from a gas price increase late in the summer, although the official inflation rate is currently 3.7% based on the Consumer Price Index. Experts like Damien McIntyre from Federated Hermes are pointing out the tough spot consumers find themselves in, caught between inflation pressures and higher borrowing costs. Investors are waiting US consumer price data next week for a glimpse of how the Fed is faring in its fight to keep lowering inflation from last year's multi-decade highs. A sharper than expected fall could bolster the case for the central bank to cut rates sooner. Now, oil prices gained about 2% on Friday as Iraq voiced support for OPEC Plus's oil cuts ahead of a meeting in 2 weeks, and some speculators covered massive short positions ahead of weekend uncertainty. Still, prices settled with weekly losses of about 4%. That's the third straight week in decline. This was the perfect technical storm. We came into this week with an almost record short position, and now we're seeing some short covering going into the weekend, said Phil Flynn, an analyst at Price Futures Group. Flynn noted that in addition to Iraq's comments, Saudi Arabia and Russia confirmed this week that they would continue oil output cuts through to the end of the year. And in the US, energy firms cut the number of oil rigs operating for a second week in a row to the lowest number since January 2022. Energy services firm Baker Hughes said the rig count points to future output. Brent futures rose 2.11% to settle at $81.43 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate crude rose 2.3% to settle at $77.17. Brent and WTI notched their third straight weekly loss for the first time since May, although both benchmarks exited technically oversold territory. Concerns about demand have replaced the fear of production outages related to the Middle East conflict, analyst at CommerceBank said. Weak Chinese economic data this week increased worries of faltering demand. Refiners in China, the largest buyer of crude from Saudi Arabia, the world's largest exporter, asked for less supply for December. OPEC Plus, the organization of the petroleum exporting countries and allies, including Russia, will meet on November the 26th. Chances are that Saudi Arabia will extend its output cut into the first quarter of 2024, and it's certainly increasing given renewed market concerns about Chinese demand and the broader macro outlook, RBC Capital Market analyst said. An analyst at Capital Economics said OPEC Plus might cut supply further if prices continue to fall. We are sticking with our forecast for Brent ending both this year and next year at around $85 a barrel, a research firm said in a note. Now, in the UK, the stagnating economy failed to grow in the July to September period, but it did avoid a technical recession, according to the latest data from the Office of National Statistics. As a result, the British pound also retreated to 1.2222 versus the US dollar after statements from the Bank of England suggested that it was premature to consider rate cuts. The FTSE ended down 1.28% at 7,360. And the latest developments surrounding the controversy at NatWest, the bank announced plans to withhold a significant portion of former leader Alison Rowe's £10 million payoff. The stock was down 1.87% on the day. The decision, which was disclosed to the London Stock Exchange, comes in response to Rowe's controversial resignation earlier this year. Rowe, who left her position at the state-owned bank at the end of July, had misinformed a bank journalist about the reasons for closing Nigel Farage's Coutts accounts due to banking criteria and political views. Despite her resignation, she continued to receive her annual £2.4 million salary as per contract terms and was eligible for a pro rata portion of £2.9 million bonuses and share awards from last year. So, not too shabby after all then. Now, last month, Farage criticised what he termed the woke culture under Rose's leadership for his debanking and alleged vile comments made by staff, and he claimed high-level involvement in his account closure and called for an investigation into NatWest's conduct. Farage also urged that Rose bonuses should be stripped in the light of these events. In Germany, the DAX was down 0.77% to 15,234, and the CAC 40 in France was down 0.96% to 7,045, following Thursday's weakness from the US and concerns about the inflation drift in the Eurozone. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday as regional stocks took a weak lead-in from Wall Street after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned that interest rates could still rise, while the disappointing Treasury auction also pushed up yields, as we discussed. US stock futures were flat in Asian trade as a result. Sentiment towards Asia remained weak, especially after a string of disappointing economic readings from China, which showed that the region's biggest economy was struggling to improve spending and growth. Tech-heavy indices were the worst performers in Asia on Friday, with Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index leading losses with a 1.7% slide. SUMIC, China's biggest chip maker, was the worst performer in the index, losing about 4% after it clocked an 80% slump in its third quarter profit. Losses at SUMIC, which signaled a continued weakness in global chip demand, spilled over into other chipmaker stocks. Samsung Electronics lost over 1%, pulling South Korea's KOSBI down by a similar margin, while TSMC, the world's biggest contract chipmaker, shed 0.4%. Japan's Nikkei 225 lost 0.16%, hit by steep losses in chipmaking, energy and technology stocks. Tech conglomerate SoftBank Group was among the worst performers on the index, tumbling by more than 6% after it clocked an unexpected loss in the September quarter. And SoftBank's chip designing unit Arm Holdings also raised concerns over sluggish chip demand after posting disappointing earnings and a weak profit outlook earlier this week. China's Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.47% as sentiment towards the country remained weak following several disappointing economic readings this week. Data on Thursday showed that the country entered disinflation in October, its second such incident this year. The reading was precedented by data that showed a sharp decline in China's trade balance and exports. The readings largely offset hopes that Beijing was planning more support for the beleaguered property sector and put Chinese stock indices on course for a flat end to the week. Worries over China, the world's second biggest economy, resurfaced after data on Thursday showed Chinese consumer prices dipped again. Tapper Strickland, head of market economics at NAB, said that the data keeps the pressure on Beijing to continue with its incremental easing in monetary and fiscal policy. Now in Australia, the Australian share market dropped on Friday following those hawkish comments overnight from US Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, undoing three sessions of gains this week to reset the S&P ASX 200 to where it was the week ago. The benchmark gauge closed down 0.55% to 6,976. That's less than 2 points lower than a week earlier. And the All Ords dropped 0.5% on Friday as well. Over the 5 days, energy stocks were the worst performing, down about 4%, tracking declines in the price of oil amid signs of an oversupply and easing fears surrounding the Israeli-Hamas war. The sell-off in energy was partially offset by strong gains across healthcare stocks. Sector heavyweight CSL gained 3.6% to $252.14 over the 5 days of trading, as falls in bond yields sent investors back to the typical defensive sector. On the ASX, banks fell, with Commonwealth Bank down 0.77% to 101.32. NZ was down 1.32% to 25.47. Westpac was down 1.56% to $20.86. And NAB dropped 1.66% to 28.46. Macquarie was down 0.43% to 152.75. The utilities and energy sectors also ended in the red. Inflation fears were bolstered by the Reserve Bank's statement on monetary policy that was released on Friday, as I discussed the other day, which showed Australia's central bank had nudged up its inflation forecast over the next 2 years. The updated forecast arrived days after the Reserve Bank chose to increase the cash rate to 4.35%. And in company news, mineral resources fell 2.6% to $58.35 on Friday, after paying up to $60 million plus royalties to secure lithium, nickel, copper and cobalt rights to Pantoro Limited's Norseman gold project in Western Australia. Gaming company Light & Wonder rose 5.6% to $161.62 after it reported a $731 million US revenue in its most recent quarter. That was above analyst expectations. And News Corp owned REA Group slipped 2.1% to $156.22. The primary listing site generated revenue of $341 million for the September quarter, while adjusted earnings came in at $198 million, up 13%. Finally, in crypto, amidst a backdrop of regulatory uncertainty, the crypto market experienced a notable upswing, with leading cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, Ethereum, and even Dogecoin capturing gains. This upward momentum, which began in mid-October, has been largely fueled by investor anticipation surrounding new investment vehicles like BlackRock's proposed Ethereum and Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. The lack of clear guidance from the US Securities and Exchange Commission and Congress has not dampened the enthusiasm for digital assets. Instead, the potential introduction of ETFs by a major player such as BlackRock has provided a boost to market sentiment. So investors are seemingly engaging in the classic buy the rumor, sell the news trading pattern, snapping at cryptocurrencies in the hopes that these new products will lead to broader adoption and price increases. Further bolstering the market's confidence is the ongoing innovation within the blockchain area. Major companies like Visa and Shopify are actively testing blockchain technologies for payment processing applications. So entities like Ethereum and Solana, with blockchains that have a focus on functionality such as smart contracts and decentralized applications, have particularly benefited from these developments. Their increased activity reflects a market that is not only interested in the investment opportunity cryptocurrencies provide, but also in their potential to revolutionize various aspects of digital commerce and finance. However, given the Optus network failure this week, perhaps there is still room for some more skepticism of pure digital plays. What happens when the network fails or power drops? We still need access to cash, as I discussed with Robbie Barwick yesterday. But standing back, you can see here that the markets are still veering left and veering right, trying to work out what to do as they tackle the question of higher yields, lower yields, higher interest rates, low interest rates, and what's going to happen to inflation. The chances are we're going to see a bit of a Santa rally into the end of the year. We often do, but still expect considerable volatility and uncertainty because there is so much that is pulling in different directions. Certainly there is no clear air yet. Therefore, expect more volatility. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.